Well, hello everybody. My name is Joel I, and I am a compulsive overeater. I have no clue what I'm going to say. I decided I was just going to leave it to God to kind of guide me through it. And I'm going to follow the big book that basically says that we tell how it was, how we came in, and then what it's like today. And so I'm going to kind of follow that. But 20 minutes is actually not a long time, because once I get going, man, I could go and go and go and go. So we're going to have to pack some stuff in here. I have been in program 29 years now. And I came in 1996 in September. I was in the Navy, and I was a crazy person. I was so angry back then. And of course, later on, when I came into program, I learned that really what I was just a really fearful little boy who never really learned how to live, and I really needed to grow up. And that's a painful thing to do growing up, I have to tell you. You should do it when you are a little boy, not wait till you're in your 30s and 40s and 50s. And I'm still actually growing up today. Anyway, back then I was so angry that I had a lot of trouble, and I would use food literally to comfort myself all the time. And so they have this thing called the Fat Boy program, and they have a test where they do test, and you have to be within a certain limit of body fat, and then you have to run a mile and a half, do a certain amount of push-ups, and touch your toes. And I failed that miserable every year. And then I would lose the weight, and I'd take the test again, and I would move on again. They eventually changed the rules, and they said you cannot fail more than three times consecutively. If you do, then you're out of the service. And so I failed, and I was stationed over in Naples, Italy, and I lost the weight, and I failed again. And this time they gave me therapy, required therapy, and some classes. And then I lost the weight. And then I failed again, and they said, "You're out of here." And at that point, though, they said, "We have this program. It's out in San Diego that is for alcoholics and drug addicts. And what we're going to do is we're going to send you to that because they have a small group of compulsive overeaters." And I was like, "Compulsive overeater? What are you talking about? Compulsive overeater? Oh, you'll find. You'll figure it out. You'll find out." And so they popped me on a plane from Italy up to Germany, over to Washington, D.C. And then I think I hit every major city across the country on my way to San Diego. And then I get there, and the first thing they said to me is, "You're going to have to go to an OA meeting every night." What is this OA thing? Overeaters Anonymous. Well, I went. And I was pretty shy back then. I really had a hard time talking to anybody. And if it wasn't for the people that were having to go to this meeting with me, I probably would have gotten up and just ran away and gone AWOL, because I was terrified. I walked into this room, it was this huge circle, and it was all women. I was like, "Not one guy here." And really, the only guys in that meeting were like the five of us that showed up from the Navy. And but they really welcomed me, really, really. One person came over to me and started talking to me. I was giving short answers, but after a while, I just started warming up. And that's the thing about OA. That's been my experience in the very beginning. It really took me a little bit to understand this concept that I have a disease, and that my disease wants me, in trouble all the time. And it's just because of it, I used food to comfort myself, but also to numb myself out. It was like a drug. I literally distracted myself with food. And of course, I gained weight because the other thing was I hated exercise. If you're going to be in the military and you hate exercise, you're not going to do very well. But all the times that I got forced to do exercise, I just got a real dislike to it. I was a bit of a rebel as well. When people would tell me what to do, I would be like, no way. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do the opposite. And that's just how I was when I came into service. And I did this rehab and I graduated and I actually lost a lot of weight while I was there. And I learned about something called 301, 3 meals a day, nothing in between, 1 day at a time. I learned, that we all have a higher power and we could define him however we want him. And I really struggle with that. I have a whole story, but we don't really have time to go into it. Maybe another lead I'll do for you guys. But yeah, I basically figured out what my higher power was while I was out there in San Diego. And it was the first time that I think I ever felt hope in program. Because prior to that, I felt absolutely no hope. I honestly thought I was put on earth to be a victim of God's wrath or something like that. Like I was a big joke and he was just playing with me. And I was essentially told to fire that God and then hire a new one. And I did it. And wow, what a difference. And then I had to do this thing called surrender. And what that really meant was I had to do some work. I actually had to take some action because the action is where it's at. And that means I was working the fourth step and, really digging deep. Well, I kind of cheated the system. I had an AA sponsor when I got back to Naples, Italy. And I told him, oh, we just write down our story, which really isn't the truth. We do basically what the alcoholics do as well. And it, I kind of cheated. And sure enough, I was sent back to the States over to Great Lakes, Illinois, which is just north of Chicago. And I was stationed there for a year. And what did I do? I failed it again. And this time, you're out. And they kicked me out. And it was right at that point, I was like, screw all this. Screw you. Screw everybody. And I went back to my old tricks and basically relapsed. So, I got out of the service after 16 years. I did 16 years in the service and I just flushed it right down the toilet because I didn't get a retirement or anything out of it. Got nothing out of my service. And, I went through this relapse and I just gained weight like crazy. While I was in the Navy, I think I got up to 240, 230 really was my highest weight. Getting out of the service, I gained to like 340. I actually don't remember what my top weight. It was around there. And I started feeling really sick. I couldn't climb the steps. It was embarrassing. Every time I got onto a plane, they had to give me one of those seatbelt extenders. How horrible, embarrassing is that? And it just it was something I was dealing with, and my wife begged me to go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, they took blood from me, and then that next day called me, and you need to come in and do a blood test again. And I went in, they did another blood test, and then he sat me down and said, well, you're diabetic, type 2 diabetic, and this is something you're going to have to deal with the rest of your life. You need to lose weight. Not only that, but your cholesterol is through the roof, your triglycerides are through the roof, everything is off with you, and you have something called fatty liver. It's just, oh my God, the list just went on and on. and just terrified the crap out of me. So you would think I would say, well, okay, I gotta lose weight. No, didn't happen. I just dug in deeper into my cocoon and basically took me about 6 months. And what did I do? It took me a while. I went to a nutritionist, and then that's when I realized I'm gonna really need support. Where did I get support? Oh my God, OA. So I looked up a meeting. I was living down in Florida at the time. I went to the meeting. I walked in, and people didn't even notice me. I sat in the back. But I had this instantaneous feeling of, oh my God, I'm home. This is home for me. This is where I belong. Well, I basically, I came into, I came in, I guess you could say I came into vanity to get the weight off and keep the weight off and stay in the Navy. And even after that, it was just always about the weight. And this second time, I did the steps the right way. I had a great sponsor named Dave. Whole story around that too. He didn't put up with my crap. And he was this guy from Philadelphia, this old guy from Philadelphia. And he taught me so. He was actually more of a father to me than my own father. In fact, he was my father, as far as I was concerned. And I came in for the vanity, and he taught me this program is about sanity. And that is what I stayed for. And it's really helped me over the years. It's been a long evolution. I learned we put focus on our awareness, on abstinence, acceptance. I learned to that this thing called the three P's, pray, practice, and persistence. I learned to let go and let God. And yeah, I mean, acceptance was the answer to everything. These are the things that I learned with him. And I was in down in Florida in Region 8, and I basically worked my way up in service through the intergroup and did newsletter. Then they asked me to be a region rep, and I became a region rep. And then there, and I became the secretary of Region 8, and I did service. And then it was right about that time in my third year of service that Dave died. Rocked my world. My son, my oldest son, came out as transgendered. And my wife of 21 years said she wanted a divorce all at once. And totally, totally rocked my world. And I tried to tough it out, you know. I've been going to see therapists since the age of 9. I've been in therapy literally since the age of 9. And I thought I'll just bring this to my therapist. Nothing helped. I just spiraled into this black hole and broke my abstinence. And so I had put on 9 years of really good abstinence, and I just tossed it right out the window. Over, I was really having this massive pity party, is what I was. And I think what happened was I got so angry at God that I didn't want to deal with anything. So about 2 years later, I found my now wife, and we moved to Ohio, and I started going to a church with her that she loved. And I was talking to the pastor, and we were talking, and I said, life is just so rough and so terrible, and God doesn't care. And oh my God, we talked for hours about all of this. And eventually I came around No, I wasn't really angry at God. I was
5 minutes.
really angry. Thank you. I was really angry at myself. Seriously angry at myself. So, what did I do? I found myself an OA meeting. I was living, or I still am, living in Pickerington, Ohio, which is right out of Columbus. I'm on the east side. The meeting that I picked is all the way on the west side. Took an hour to get there. I walked in the doors. There was like three people there. They talked to me. It was really nice. They started the meeting, and it was like I was home again. This is home. These are my people. They're the only ones. You guys are the only ones that understand me, that can hear me when I talk about, the struggles I have in relationships and how I get triggered emotionally. And then we know the solution. The solution is to work the steps and have a sponsor. And I have the greatest sponsor. Well, he's slightly not as good as Dave was, but he's almost as good as Dave. I love my sponsor. He lives up in Cleveland. I only see him a couple times a year, but he's great. And I have to say that today, working with him, my entire life just has gone 180. I'm in a great relationship now. My kids don't talk to me. I did a doozy on them as their dad. I wasn't really, I shouldn't have had kids. But I actually have peace in my life. I think that's the biggest thing, is that I have peace. And that's amazing. I never thought that I would be like that. I don't get angry. I mean, I can actually drive down the road without flipping anybody the finger. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty cool. I don't feel afraid like I used to be. And the biggest thing is, my abstinence. It's like nothing tastes as good as abstinence feels. It's easy now. I can always tell when I'm spiritually fit, because the food is just not attractive to me. And I might look at the food, but then I just do a little bit of self-talk. That's poison to me, or that's not mine. And in fact, not only do I have a day job, I have a second job that I do as a sort of side gig, where I DoorDash. And so I have food in my car all the time, and I am not attracted to this food at all. And that, to me, is a miracle. And if you're new to program, or if you're struggling, don't leave before the miracle happens. It will happen for you. And in fact, I want to read something. It's out of Voices. It's my favorite reading, and I'll end with this. It's on page 82, March 22nd, and this is it. Getting out of my own way gives me freedom to rise to the highest level of which I am capable. That's from For Today. I see the details and fret over them. My higher power sees the big picture. This is my higher power's plan for me: to be free of fear, to march after every single dream, to recognize where my passion is, to let my passion loose, to be strong of mind, body, and spirit, to grasp for all good things that could be mine, to love unreservedly, to keep the real priorities in front of me, to experience joy without limits. When I am able to accept that this is my higher power's will for me, I see the need to stay out of the picture. My plan wasn't nearly as good. I love that. That, to me, sums up where I'm at today. I might not have achieved all those things, but I'm a work in progress. I am so grateful to program, to all of you, for being there for me and helping me. And with that, thank you for letting me give you some service.